Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of the We Talk Music Podcast on the air and in your ear. And once again, I am Mocton, joined by the king of the casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. And Brett, you got another good one here today. You're the best booker in the business, and this is why.
Well, you know, I'm super happy to tell you and tell everyone that we have a wonderful singer, a guitarist. He's sung for the Devil City Angels. He's been with the Gibbs Brothers Band. He's got a solo career. He's been with a lot of people that are really awesome, and he's really awesome. And he's got a new single coming out March 8th called Lost Boys. Brandon Gibbs, how are you?
Doing wonderful. Yeah, man, life is good right now. We've finally got a break in weather, and feel pretty good about everything. And thank you guys for having me on.
Well,
I was just going to say, Lost Boys, I mean, I know you've been quoted as saying it's unlike anything you've ever written before. So tell us about the song and why it is that you're so excited about it.
Well, it comes out March 8th, by the way, and which is almost a year to the day where I was basically sent home, you know, and I was in Atlanta doing a show. And the next day I got to the airport and my partner says, you dropped me off. He said, just be aware that it's going to be very, very weird. And I walked into the airport, and I don't know if it just because I was traveling, I didn't have my ear to the ground so much on the pandemic. I knew there was something, but anyways, I thought it would blow over. And anyways, I got into the airport, and it was like the zombie apocalypse. Everybody was just like staying away from each other. And I go, whatever's happening is serious business, and I know it's not going to be the same. And that was my flight, my feeling on the way home. And of course, with that, all of a sudden, everything we had planned was canceled, right? And we had a great year planned, and so all of a sudden, I find myself home. I've never had this kind of time off ever since I was 14. I've always toured and played and recorded and go out and rinse, wash, and repeat. And this was different. And add to that, you got the wildfires, you got the of course the pandemic, the crazy politics, people rioting. I mean, you couldn't get away from it. You could not get away from it, no matter what you did. And so I'm trying to keep my head above water. I have a daughter, and of course there's some depression happening because everything I ever known is taken away. And so I just had to write about it. And my record label, Golden Robot, said, you know, thank God for them. They said, well, you need to go back to the studio. We can't put you on hold right now. And I said, I got a song. And, one of the lines is, people hold on. There's some change and some weather. I keep hearing things are going to change for the better. Who's in charge? Is there a man on the scene? People living out of line, no one ever coming clean. And that's just all. I mean, turn on the television. Everyone's baiting each other and trying to start a fight or in a fight. And so that's why the song was so important. And then I had to adjust with home life and you know, helping my daughter learn from home. And so when the video comes out, you'll see there's a I had to just kind of be dad. And you know, I'm always dad, but I had a responsibility to make sure my daughter was getting through this this scary thing. And so we did a lot of dancing, a lot of funny stuff. But the premise of the song is exactly the state of the union and how you feel as an artist. Or how a fan feels that loves to. I mean, a lot of people save their money every paycheck, put some back so they can go to concerts, and it's relief. And now all of a sudden, none of us are together anymore. And I feel like we've built this wonderful family, artists and fans, and the stage was just burned up and taken away. So that's what the song is about. And I think it's very relevant and probably what people were thinking. And it's my job as an artist to put it in song.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because we've heard now from several musicians that about like similar stories as yours of not really knowing what was going on, and then suddenly just showing up at an airport or showing up at a venue or being, and it's like, this is it, and it seems so weird that you could be out and about and not know, but at the same time, I guess it's so easy to get kind of really worked into the music and your life, that it's probably is just kind of like guided from one place to the next, to the next, to the next, that everything else is almost like just goes past you.
You know, I don't even turn on I don't watch the news or turn on the TV when I get to my hotel. Everything's so high paced. It's like, all right, I got to brush up. I got to warm up. I always have the guitar on the other bed. And so, yeah, you know, and if you're not doing that, if you're not practicing, warming your vocals up, you're calling home and things like that. And so I knew something was going on. I didn't know the severity of it. And boy, did I learn. Do we all learn?
yeah, for sure. And I mean, I know, again, another thing we've talked about so much is like you said, the loss of concerts and just the loss of that connection. I mean, it's been the bright side for us is that we've had a lot more interviews because musicians have a lot more access now. But it's such a shame because like we want to be able to see them. Yes,
I'd give it up to go see a live show. Are you kidding me? I mean, I haven't gone this long without seeing a live show in 30 years.
Yeah.
You know,
it does something for your soul. And like I said, I mean, no matter who I'm with or if I'm out touring solo, there's a therapy in it. And whether you're in the seat watching the show or whether you're performing the show, when you connect together over song and lyrics or your favorite guitar solo, I mean, it just takes us all back to an exciting time. And doesn't matter how old we get, it still brings out kind of the inner happy child in us that remembered when we first heard that riff. And so it's a very, I mean, live music is a very, very special thing for so many, you know?
So beyond this song, have you been very creative during this pandemic downtime?
Absolutely. At the end of 2019, Rain Whiskey came out with Golden Robot. Super fun song. It shows kind of the fun side of me. I love having parties and treating people to good food. And I love being a host and enjoy. I just love throwing down with friends. So I wrote, you know, Rain Whiskey had great success. Leave is shows a little bit more of my sentimental side, as far as I'm a big anti-bully advocate and the youth, I enjoy encouraging them to be free, have an imagination, explore their ideas, and let the sky be the limit. And I had to get that message out there, that, you know, people are gonna mess with you and tell you this and that, but you need to march forward. And then to the bully, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, beat it, leave, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I had to get that song out, and that resonates with a lot of younger fans. But at the same time, it also, I mean, adult workplace, man, there can be some nastiness, and it goes full circle, you know. And Devil City Angels had a song called Testify come out in the middle of that. So we shot a video for that. And it came out after Leave or before Leave. I can't really remember. And then, of course, Lost Boy, was a wonderful writing project. And then I have another song that I'm working on with my friend Mike Bennett from the Richie Kotzen Band, that I don't know what we're going to do with it yet. But I know it's exciting, and I don't want to say anything that I'll have to take back. But there's something in the works. So I have been really just a lot of pen and paper, and there's guitars all over the house because you never know when you get inspired. You know, I got all the voice memos of pieces of songs have all gotten my attention again. You know, and then taking on other things that have been in the closet, like fitness goals, just being a better chef. I started a garden. I learned how to fly a drone. you know, so yeah, I've been pretty creative, thankfully. Thank God.
Yeah, I love Testify. The harmonies in that song are so good.
Thank you.
That's really a great song. Yeah, that one as well. You know, all your stuff is really good. So what is it that you'd like to see Lost Boys succeed in doing?
Well, just, you know, as a writer, I want to describe a place in time. And I mean, I think 10 years from now, we're all going to go, do you remember 2020? Do you remember how it just changed? And we're like a toy box that was dumped upside down. I want to be the voice for that period of time with this song. I mean, lost is an understatement. People are unemployed. People couldn't say have proper funerals. There's a lot of people lived a lifetime with someone and they couldn't even say goodbye to them properly. So I really want Lost Boys to be the song of what we all, not just artists and fans, but everybody dealt with. You know, my wife is a nurse. She's a first responder going to work, basically checking into like a TSA kind of routine, you know, just to get in and on the daily it wearing a gigantic. I mean, so there's so many people that feel that this is the strangest time they've ever dealt with or seen. And I want that song to be the voice of that time.
How do you think that you have changed and maybe perhaps well have changed more by the time music comes back?
Certainly humbled, you know. A lot of times you get your schedule and you kind of go, oh, well, maybe I need a break or, man, you know, I just think that taking things for granted, I might have done some of that. I think all of us have, you know, it's always going to be available. I started my own business as Brandon Gibbs, the artist, and I can control it. Fact of the matter is, no, I can't. And so when things come back full circle, I think I'm going to be a little bit more aware that this is a gift and not a right. It's a gift and treat it just a little bit more special because it truly is a great platform. So just being humble and knowing at any time, you know, make the most of each show, make the most of each recording, because at any time something strange like this out of the blue could happen and pull you right off of track, really.
Yeah, I guess it'll be so amazing, really, to get to be able to truly meet with fans again, to actually be back on the stage with a band and the camaraderie, yeah. And just that whole feeling.
It's so much fun. I always work with a revolving cast of characters. Everybody has their own projects based on availability. I have just a wonderful Rolodex of people that I call to work with and or call me. And, you know, we just have so much stories and you come home sometimes laughing. I mean, you're tired, but you're laughing about stuff that happened out there. And it's just the whole little life that you miss. And I definitely miss the camaraderie with my bandmates and trading riffs and, the, you know, just stupid stuff. Even like just having an acoustic guitar jam session in the hotel room. Like I would eat a bowl of hair to have an acoustic guitar jam session right now.
I'd eat a bowl of hair to be able to watch that. Yeah. Are you kidding? That sounds awesome.
Yeah, recording, right? All those.
Well, especially, you know, with the people that you know, right? Like, it's,
yeah,
just like,
and that's the thing. You've been accepted by people that you grew up listening to, you know? Like, how cool is that?
That's another thing. You take a time like this, you start reflecting. I go downstairs to my basement and my office, and you start looking at all these pictures, and you go, you know, I have really carved something special here. And these guys that I had on my walls and I look up to are now my friends and associates. And I think that's what I. You know, my dad always said, if you want to be the best, you need to work with the best. You need to train with the best. If you're going to be, you want to be an NFL player, make some NFL friends. And I just kind of always had that mentality that if the only way I'm going to succeed is if I weed out the people that are not serious and get the people that are serious and just learn and take as much information. And so to be accepted by these people that have way more success than I have, it just means a lot. I think it means that I'm going in the right direction.
So what are some of the most valuable things that you've learned? I mean, we talk about like working with members of Poison, Cinderella, I mean, Tracy Guns and stuff like that. I mean, these guys, they've absolutely walked the walk and they've done all of that stuff. So what yeah. kind of things have you learned from them?
You know, I've learned, you know, all guys I've worked with are not in the, they don't have the heyday mentality anymore. So I think one of the things I've learned is if you want to keep doing it, you need to pay attention to your health. It's not always a big party. And the fact that the guys I work with, most of them are all sober and very, you know, that's the kind of people that I want to run with. I don't want to be reckless. And every one of those guys has been through some dark times and has learned to survive, and it will thrive and survive. And so I'm on that side where I'm learning from clear-headed musicians and managers. And so, yeah, I'm still every day learning. And it's just really about surrounding yourself with the right people that can help you grow. And in the same time, you hope you help them grow a little bit with what you bring to the table.
What?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I think too, like, it's good for them, you know, because you are of that like mind. Whereas I think that if they were surrounded by people who were just like, yeah, let's go party, let's get out and get drunk and, you know, do yeah. this. I want to live your stupid shit life that you had before.
Yeah.
So let's do that now. And I don't think that would work for them, right?
No, and you know, I've had my moments, trust me. I mean, that's a part of growing up for me is, you know, okay, you need to know when all of a sudden you're on a different level, and you need to treat it that way. So if that means leaving the party and getting some rest, you got to do it. And just taking it, I mean, if you want to be a pro, you got to act like one, and you got to train yourself to think like one. And all the guys that, I mean, I have really no complaints. I mean, I guess I came into their lives at a time where knowledge is abundant and true. And so I do a lot of listening too.
You mentioned Tracy Guns, who you played with in the Devil City Angels. When people talk about great guitarists, his name doesn't seem to come up enough for me. Just how good as a player is that guy?
Well, he's wonderful. One of my memories of Tracy, I mean, I love sharing the stage with him. He's got a very flamboyant stage presence, kind of like a Hendrix or, I mean, he just looks cool doing his thing. And not only does he look cool doing his thing, he can back it up. But how he approached guitar solos in the studio was really what I think I fell in love with Tracy Guns the most. It's like spiritual almost. Like he really dives in to his solo, and once it's done, you go, whoa, oh my God. Like it was like a hook right there. And I think that his style in that band and my more bluesy style, we had a good contrast. It wasn't two of the same guitar players. It was one that, a Randy Rhodes-ish kind of thing, and then a blues kind of thing. And it was really fun to play guitar with him. He did the majority of all the solos. I would solo in the live show, but the solos on the Devil City, except for maybe one song or two songs, are Tracy, and he builds them into these melodic pieces of music. It's almost like its own chorus, if that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the first time I listened to that album, you know, when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this doesn't sound a damn thing like the LA Guns, you know.
No.
And it took me off, you know, by surprise. And then I started to really appreciate the different vibe that band had.
You know, that's the one thing when we got together, none of us wanted to really be like, for instance, my solo material sounds different than Devil City Angels.
Mm-hmm.
Devil City Angels is a little bit of a cocky ass band. It's we're four guys that love to love to jam and love to rock. And there's a it's a little less, I guess I'm a little more sentimental with my solo stuff, perhaps more spiritual, whereas Devil City, it hits you over the head with two baseball bats. And so we were just, none of us wanted to sound like what we do on our own, be it Poison or LA Guns or Cinderella, but we all come from those. And just the melting pot of that created a really great record. And I'm, you know, I'm 36. I just turned 36 last week. So these guys are a bit older than me. And so they're digging into their roots. And then my roots and everything was, I just thought it was a good pot of a good gumbo that you could just keep adding, you know, and we didn't care.
Sure. Like,
we didn't have any expectations about getting signed. We got signed maybe 4 weeks into taking a picture and putting it on the internet with one song. So yeah, it's just like rock and roll, man. I'm still proud of that record to this day. I listen to it quite a bit. Actually, I just got the vinyl. My friend Liz bought me the, you would think nice. I would have this. Now I got signed. I got 5 CDs, right? I get, you know, brother, sister, mom, dad. And then I went and bought mine at Best Buy. And my friend just recently for my birthday got me the vinyl. So
nice.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Happy birthday.
You know, I'm still holding out hope someday there'll be a second full-length album of those. And speaking of full-length albums, when are you looking to release a full-length album?
So my deal with Golden Robot, basically, they're a fan of my songwriting, and they kind of took me into to their headspace, and they said, look, we don't really mess creatively with the artist. If you're signed with us, you just do what you do. So let's start with you releasing singles with us, and let's get you as a solo artist more momentum. A lot of people know you from different things. Let's push Brandon. And I've always tried to push Brandon equally, you know, along the way with whatever. I always like to, if I give one to this project, I got to give one to my project, because this would be the thing that is my, this is my life. This is my life's work. And so, yeah, we're releasing singles, and the goal is to release and then put together, which I can't wait for this, a wonderful record of all these songs that I've done with them. And I'm actively working on them with more songs. And I don't think it's going to take that long. I think we'll be staring at a record, you know, within a year. And that's been on my bucket list for a long time. I've released several solo EPs, but this is my first time being signed as a solo artist. And so I'm taking my time. I like to marinate in all the songs. You know, I can't sit down and do a writer's round and go, okay, I think this is the one. I got to bleed and feel it. And it's got to resonate. And so I take my time a little bit more. So eventually, I don't know the exact timeline. I would say maybe a year less than we should have something to have out as a full record. Hopefully a vinyl. That would be great.
How is it then, like, being able to have, I mean, the Devil City Angels, Planet X, all the other little fun things that you get a chance to do, like, how does that impact your solo work? Do you feel like you can kind of really be yourself as a solo artist because you have all the other things that kind of fill other creative needs?
Well, you know, every bit helps. I don't like to just draw from one audience. You know, for instance, my friend Joel Hoekstra and I do a thing called the Campfire Tour, and it's an acoustic kind of tour. And so I got some White Snake people that come and see us. And then you go, I sang for the guys from Poison for a blip. And so now you got Poison fans. And then, you know, I have some songs that are a little bit more bluesy, or maybe have some country-esque kind of lyrics and stuff. So now I get country fans and things. And so I'm just trying, with all these different ventures, I think you just expand your audience if you keep an open mind. And then when they listen to your stuff, they go, oh, there's an element of why I saw him in the first place in his solo stuff. I think I'll hang on for the solo ride, you know. And I even hate saying solo, because I've always been Brandon Gibbs, the artist, you know. And But yeah, I just think every piece of the mountain that you climb, it just makes you stronger. And again, if you keep an open mind and take on these projects like Planet Axe or the special guest with Poison, now you're collecting their fans if you do it right and do it with respect. And so I think that's I think it's helped build my fan base.
I would love to see you with the special guest, by the way. When I heard that, and it's no offense to Bret Michaels, but you have a better singing voice than him. I would love to hear those songs with you. Well, I know you wouldn't say so. You'd be too humble, but I'm going to say it right out there. I would love to hear that.
Well, you know, they're good people. They're good friends of mine. Bret's a good friend. You know, I know he has a very successful solo career. I've even helped him out with a weekend of gigs before, but you know, that thing was those guys, Bobby, Ricky, CeCe wanted to play, and Bret again has his own successful solo career, so I don't know, it just made sense. I guess I was already out with Ricky on tour and I knew the songs because we were performing some of them each night. You know, we tip our hat to, in that band, we would tip our hat to Cinderella, LA Guns, Poison, and then Brandon Gibbs stuff. So I really knew this stuff. It made sense. And of course it was a major honor for a young man to sit up there, stand up there for 75 minutes and sing like 10 hits in a row.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tall order.
I'm not assaulting Bret Michaels because, like I say, I think he's the most charismatic man I've ever seen on stage. He has different skills. You know, he's unbelievable in that. As a front man, just so much you can probably learn from a guy like that.
And he's very driven and motivated just in life in general. Very, you know, has a kind of an entrepreneurial headspace. And again, that's one thing when you start working with these people that have already really done it, you talk less and listen more. And he's a character that you can definitely learn from in all things.
Well, and it's so interesting too, because I mean, your voice, like, it's really good, and I really like your voice, and I really like how it's kind of grown as well. Like, I think especially in Lost Boys, like, you've got just like, it's, there's a little bit more thickness to it, kind of thing. But it's interesting, sure, because in none of those other bands, you don't sound like those singers anyways, and I think that's the best part.
If it was required of me to sing exactly like the original lead singer, I'll do it as close as I can. Of course, there's certain nuances and melodies that you have to do. Outside of that, I don't want to act, you know, I don't want to act. I want to be raw and true. And if I'm singing for another group, I'm going to do everything I can to make it sound just like they want, but I won't do an impersonation, if that makes sense. Lost Boys definitely has a grittier, thicker sound. And a lot of that too is, like you just said, I was always the guitar player in bands. Guitar is my number one love. When I started having to learn to really sing and be a front man, I had to kind of tear down the voice and build it back up and do it rinse, wash, and repeat. And so now, as I'm a little bit older, I feel like I probably do have a little bit more thickness or grit, and that's just probably from learning to do it better, you know.
Well, and I think in your case, that style, like, that really works. Like, you know, we know Brian Vollmer of Helix, and he talks about that whiskey voice, and it's just like, there's nothing that beats a good whiskey voice when it comes to, like, singing the blues or singing, like, just that blues-based hard rock. I mean, it's just like, oh, you want a little bit of that extra grit.
When you listen to, like, Jeff Healey, one of my guitar icons, my favorite, I mean, I worked with him in 2000. I opened a show for him, and it doesn't matter if he's doing a sound check. If he starts singing the blues, it sounds like he just, like, yes, I'm lonely. And he just rips into it. And it's like, ooh, that's probably some experience there. He probably started out sounding a little bit meek and mild and then just said, nope, it comes from the diaphragm. and if you execute it right, when you sing like that and you execute it right, it has more of a sense of a sense of truth to it. You can really relay to somebody the lyric when you are singing with such a conviction, you know.
You know
else who's good at that is my friend John Corabi.
Oh boy.
He could do a sound check and no offense to him, because I don't think he'll take offense, and I don't give a shit because he's my buddy. But he has one of those powerful whiskey voices that you could listen to him sing the ABCs and it would sound just fine, you know.
You know, Jeff Healey, I mean, you mentioned him, and I'm a fan of his as well, because I always think is this, like, his big hit was, you know, Angel Eyes, the John Hiatt song. And that's, you know, when I think of him, he's a hard rock and, like you say, bluesy guy. And it's almost too bad that that song, which doesn't represent him at his best, is his most famous.
Angel Eyes?
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. One of my favorite Jeff Healey records is Cover to Cover.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he did Steeler's Wheel or Stuck in the Middle. He did Creedence, Run Through the Jungle. It was like that. He covered everybody so differently and so well that that's probably why his hit got buried so much. I mean, Angel Eyes, you definitely know it when it comes on and the chords and everything. It's beautiful. But God, sometimes I was like, oh, that's a great Jeff Healey song. Oh, no, that's a Led Zeppelin song. I didn't know that. You know,
well, he'd say Angel Eyes is a John Hiatt song.
Is that not his? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a John Hiatt song. And I'm a big John Hiatt fan as well as a songwriter. So, I mean, but he had far more success with it than John Hiatt ever did. And, you know, I mean, it's a great song, but it's very interesting. Yeah. Like, I mean, you watch that guy. I can watch the film Roadhouse over and over and over again just so I can watch him on stage playing, because he kills it every minute that you see him, you know?
That is so funny you say that. I have this conversation with my buddies all the time. Okay, it would be like, for me, Roadhouse, I'll never turn it off if it comes on. Shawshank Redemption, I'll never turn it off. Yep. And then The Wizard of Oz and Beetlejuice. Those are my four that never get tired of watching them ever.
That's funny, because they couldn't be any more different, could they? But they're all great.
From Shawshank to Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Andy Dufresne to Toto.
Yeah, that's crazy.
There is no place like home. Yes, that's for sure.
My head is a prison, guys. It's just got all kinds of shit running around.
I think that's pretty common of us as well, where it's just like, yeah, it's all stuck in there. You know?
It's all in there. It'll come out in some way, shape, or form, but you put on Wizard of Oz, I'm sitting cross-legged like, oh, you know, this is some scary shit.
It's like, it's that back to the kid. Back to being a kid moment of like sitting in front of the screen and watching the flying monkeys.
I've totally aged in place when it comes to cinema and music. I'm an Allman Brothers blues guy. I listen to all the oldies. I do keep my ear to the ground to pop, because as much as I try and write something that sounds a little classic-ish, I always want to include a pop nuance or melody in it so you can sing it back. Like, if you're riding down the road and you're singing Lost Boys, it got in your head with a sense of familiarity. I don't even know how to say that word, but it's there. So I like to take those influences from, you know, my youth and learning and mix it with what I see today. And hopefully it will continue to grow and work. Wizard of Oz, Shawshank.
Yeah.
You know, I just showed my niece Wizard of Oz like 3 months ago. She's six. You know, I'm like, I had to show it to her, and just watching her face, you know, she's not sure. She's like, this, there's no color in this. And then there's color. And then you see the change. And
Yeah,
she loved it.
I have a pretty good Scarecrow impression, too. Oh, I'll try. Really, I will.
Amazing. Let's do a reading now.
Remind me to never do that impression again, please.
But yeah, you know, it's interesting because you talk about getting people singing, and it's like right in the back of my head right now. I've had for the last, you know, well, probably hour or more, like the Lost Boys, like dun 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 dun, you know, that kind of just thing running through my head while we're speaking. It's just kind of like in the background.
That was one of the ideas with my producer, Luke, Luke James. He's been with me for 12, 13 years now. We wanted to create a bed of music that is equally as fascinating as the chorus and the hook. And so when the song comes in, I get to showcase a little bit more of my guitar side of writing. And, you know, it's immediately down, 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 down. Like in and of itself, that's almost kind of a catchy thing throughout the song, you know, where you're singing Lost Boys, but you're also kind of humming the guitar parts. So yeah, that and that just happened. I didn't even think about it that way. It's people have said the music is collectively as interesting as what you're saying. So I hope I can pull that rabbit out of the hat a few more times in recording, because I was really pleased with how that came about.
Who else is playing on that song with you? I mean, obviously you're doing singing, you're doing guitar, you do bass as well, or?
No, we hire so my producer's brother's a bass player. He plays, I think he played with Jameson Rogers. There's another country artist that he plays with that's super well known, but it's slipping my mind right now. It's essentially a three-piece band in the studio. Everybody, I do all the vocals, all the harmonies, all the guitar parts. My producer also plays the drums. He's so great at the drums, and he plays organ, or we even had a ukulele on one song years back. Like, he just is so talented. He teaches himself how to do stuff if we need the instrument. And so essentially it's just a group of Nashville guys that I grew up with. We all came from a small river town, and we all eventually moved to Nashville, and I moved from Nashville, but I don't record with anybody else. I have a nice working relationship, and why try and fix it, right, if it's not broken?
For sure. Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, when you think about music and you think about all the, you know, all the places that it comes from, like, and Nashville, of course, is such a hotbed of country music and just. But we hear about like Tom Kiefer moving to Nashville. Like, there's still a lot of hard rock guys that are in Nashville.
A lot of the, you know, I always thought when I was living there, you know, like you said, Tom Kiefer, Vince Neil moved there, Mick Mars, the guys from Cinderella that I worked with for years. I mean, I think everyone has a goal to not only be a performer, but to be in a songwriting sesh pool. Songwriting is so important, and if you can be the strong performer but also have a good grip on writing and getting better at writing, Nashville really is the place for it, because there are no better writers in the world than the community of Nashville. And so I think a lot of us guys, rock guys, are going, hey, you know, when all the lights and everything turn off, I am a writer at heart, and this is what will survive the test of time. So Nashville is a wonderful place to learn how to do that better, learn the business better, structure deals better. And I totally understand why all of them have kind of uprooted from Hollywood area and got to where, you know, things are really happening.
You know, that kind of brings us back almost full circle to what you were saying with Lost Boys, that you think it's your responsibility, or believe it's your responsibility as an artist, to represent what people are feeling and saying and put it out there. Yes. And have you always had that? Has that always been your attitude, or is that something that's kind of you've recently come to?
No, it's really always been my attitude. Even if it's cynical, it comes from a place in which I've experienced it before. You know, for instance, on my EP, October 24, there's a track called The Hero, which is, it's my experience. My brother was my partner for many years, and he went into law enforcement, and I saw him on a ride along. I saw him save somebody, a 7-year-old girl who got hit by a car. Wow. physically, you know, and you can't take those things out of your mind. And his name is kind of a tearjerker. It's about my daughter's baby cousin who passed away as an infant, and how it affected everybody. And what do you say? I mean, we've all been to funerals and stuff where it's so devastating when it's your turn to go through the line. What do you say? And, you know, in this instance, there's a baby in a casket, and it just seems so. And so I had to write about it, and it's very powerful. And if you look up on YouTube, type in Brandon Gibbs, his name, we made a video where I had fans submit a picture of a loved one that had passed that means a lot to them. And so the whole entire song is, it's, you know, moms and dads, siblings that passed away, kids. I mean, and I feel like writing down those lyrics, like, don't say I'm sorry for your loss. I mean, you know, he had a name. Oh God, I didn't mean to yell, but I'm going through some hell and my life's just not the same. Those are raw, real feelings. Mm-hmm. And so that's I want to be relatable in that, it, good, bad, or ugly. And if you can turn it on, and it might be so true that it hurts, but you can relate to it.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I can watch the video, no offense, but I would lose it. I mean, that sounds too powerful, almost too powerful. And but that's a good thing. I'm glad you did it.
Well, that's the, you know, Brandon Gibbs as the artist, I'm a very spiritual person. You see some of that in my music, but I can also go to Devil City and write about cynical stuff. But I can't write about it if I didn't experience it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't grow up. I won't make stuff up. Daddy wasn't a farmer. I won't just start writing stuff just to talk about it. It has to come from a place in which I experienced it. It bled me out, and then I think I can relate more to the listener.
That's why you're doing such good music right there. I mean, you just summed it up.
Thank you.
Just summed it up. That's why you know, your songs are so damn good. We're almost up against the clock. Did you have any other questions, Brett?
I just wanted to ask you before we go, like, what's a Brandon Gibbs solo show going to look like then after?
Okay. You know, I've always had a great time interacting with the audience. It's going to be filled with guitar. It's going to be filled with hooks that you can relate to. Good, bad, fun, energetic. And really, I just want everyone who comes to the shows to get there early, get your seat, get a drink, and just get ready to have a gas. And if it tickles every emotion, then I did my job, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to stay true to that path and entertain you. My job is to entertain. I don't collect it. I don't care about money. I have someone that cares about that for me, thankfully. So I know I have a mission and a goal, and it's just to unify the room, unify the arena, unify a small pub that has 30 people watching, if that's what it is. And that's my goal, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Awesome.
Well, Brandon, please tell all the listeners where they can find you and where they can keep up with you and the single, of course.
Yeah. So you can keep up with me at www.bgibbsmusic.com. My Twitter is bgibbsmusic, as well as my Instagram. My Facebook is Brandon Gibbs Music. There's also a private Facebook, which I just want to forewarn everyone is already filled up. So I encourage, if you see a private one, your best to go to Brandon Gibbs Music. I can interact more. I'm B Gibbs Music all over the place. And if you get lost, just Google it. Something will come up and lead you in the right direction.
Well, Brandon, thank you so much for coming on the show. I know we really enjoyed talking to you.
Had a great
time. And really enjoyed Lost Boys and the rest of your music. And I look forward to hearing way more of it. And hopefully getting the chance to see you live, too.
I on behalf of me and artists, it's people like you guys that keep the word out. And so it was my pleasure coming on your show today. And when we get something else out, maybe we can all speak again.
That would be wonderful.
Love that. Love
Thank that. You so all right. much. All the best, Brandon.
Thank you.
See you guys.
All right. Bye now.
Stop.